Did you ever have a rough week? Yeah. It's kind of a dumb question, right? I'm sure we've all had multiple rough weeks. Weeks that we wish we never got out of bed in the first place. Well, Jesus was no different. The final week of his life on earth prior to his resurrection, he was falsely accused of crimes that he did not commit. He was brutally mocked, brutally beaten. And then finally, to cap it all off, they crucified him on a cross, one of the worst methods of capital punishment that the world has ever come up with. He endured the cross for a number of hours, and then finally he died, and they buried him in a rich man's tomb, Joseph of Arimathea. I don't know about you, but I think that would qualify as a rough week, right? On top of that, he was betrayed by two of the closer people in his life. Both of them were apostles, Judas and Peter. And in John chapter 13, Jesus actually predicted both of their betrayals. So he was not surprised when it happened, although I don't know as if knowing really made it any better. I mean, a betrayal is a betrayal. Anybody in here ever been betrayed by someone, a loved one, a friend? It hurts. I don't think it lessens it just because you know it's coming. Jesus certainly felt that as well. So what I want to do this morning is I want to take a look at both of these people's stories, that is Judas and Peter, and in the process I basically lied to you last week. Because last Sunday I had mentioned that we're done with the book of John. We're actually not done with the book of John. We're jumping back into it, and we're going to jump into a couple of different chapters. And I'll give you all that as we go through. Let's take a look at Judas first. Judas was one of the original 12 apostles chosen by Jesus after he spent all night in prayer out by himself with his father. And it seems that Judas was a wealthy man, possibly one of the wealthier of all of the 12 apostles. Now, I don't know if that played a role in this or not, but we do know that Jesus made him the treasurer of the ministry's money. He was the money guy. He did not do a very good job being the money guy. The Bible tells us that he was stealing some of the money for himself. Do you imagine that? Well, that's what Judas was doing. Well, here they are, Jesus, his disciples, and they're sitting together in the upper room celebrating the Passover meal, what we call the Last Supper here in modern times. If you got your Bibles, go ahead and open to John chapter 13, verses 21 through 30. Let's go ahead and put that up on the overhead. As we normally do, Jesus is right now going to go ahead and predict Judas' betrayal. It says, after he had said this, Jesus was troubled in spirit and testified, "Very truly I tell you, one of you is going to betray me." His disciples stared at one another, at a loss to know which of them he meant. One of them, the disciple whom Jesus loved, that would have been the apostle John, was reclining or sitting next to him. Simon Peter motioned to this disciple and said, "Ask him which one he means." Leaning back against Jesus, he asked him, "Lord, who is it?" So Jesus answered, "It is the one to whom I will give this piece of bread when I have dipped it in the dish." Then dipping the piece of bread, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. As soon as Judas took the bread, Satan entered into him. So Jesus told him, "What you are about to do, do quickly." But no one at the meal understood why Jesus said this to him. Since Judas had charge of the money, some thought Jesus was telling him to buy what was needed for the festival or to give something to the poor. Boy, they were wrong. As soon as Judas had taken the bread, he went out, and it was night. So here in these verses in John chapter 13 at the Last Supper, we see Jesus predicting Judas and his betrayal. But Jesus wasn't done yet in predictions. Next up on the list was the apostle Peter. He too was one of the original 12 apostles chosen by Jesus after that night in prayer with his Father alone on the mountain. And Peter, you get the sense he was the spokesman at the very least, probably the leader of the little band of 12 after Jesus. You especially see that in the book of Acts when Peter comes to prominence in the first 9 or 10 chapters or so. Either way, Peter loved Jesus. And Peter, though, has Jesus' attention turned towards him now. Take a look here at verses 13 through 38, John chapter 13. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, will you really lay down your life for me? Very truly, I tell you, before the rooster crows, you will disown me or deny me 3 times. So Jesus is done with Judas. He turns his attention towards Peter. Different wording, disown, betray, but really the heart is the same. Both of these men were going to go and betray Christ. So what happened? Well, exactly what Jesus said would happen. Let's take a look at Judas first, John 18, verses 1 through 3. And I think I threw verse 12 in there. Let's see if we got that. Do we have that one up there today? No, that one's not in there. Okay, so John 18, let me have this. That one's on me. Technology is wonderful, especially when you forget to use it. I never forget anything, right? So here it is. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. And then if you jump down to verse 12, it says, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. So just as Jesus predicted, Judas goes out and does it. Well, how about Peter? Well, jump down a little bit. John 18, verses 15 through 17. It says, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priest and went with Jesus into the courtyard of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. Then the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to her who kept the door and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, You are not also one of this man's disciples, are you? Peter said, I am not. Jump down to verse 25 through 27. Now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, a relative of him whose ear Peter cut off. That got wild. In the garden, when they arrested Jesus, Peter took out a sword and cut the dude's ear off. Right? Jesus, in the moment of his greatest trial, heals his ear. Do you imagine seeing all that? You talk about grace. You talk about the love of Christ. Here's a guy who's coming to arrest him and he heals him anyway. You're never too far from God. You're never too far from God. So anyway, a relative of the guy whose ear got cut off says to Peter, did I not see you in the garden with him? Peter then denied again, and immediately a rooster crowed. You talk about your bad weeks. We've all had them. Jesus was having them. And I think you can add Judas and Peter to the list. I mean, within hours of having dinner with Christ, Judas and Peter did the unthinkable. They both betrayed him, the Son of God, their Savior, their Lord. These guys absolutely blew it. They sinned in a massive way. And keep in mind, they were part of the 12. We're not talking about guys who might have heard about Jesus from a friend. We're not talking about somebody who met Jesus once or twice in the supermarket or something. We're talking about Jesus' inner circle. I mean, they were with Christ for 3 to 3.5 years, depending on how long Jesus ministered before his crucifixion. And they were like in the in crowd. They saw the miracles. They saw the love. They saw the grace. They saw the forgiveness. They saw the power. They heard the teaching. And yet here they are anyway, denying Jesus again, their Lord and their Savior. Peter's the leader of the band. Judas is the treasurer. It's a big deal. You talk about your mistakes. You talk about your sin. These guys are right in the midst of it. Peter disowns Christ 3 times. Judas betrays him to the authorities. Here they are. 2 of the mighty have fallen. So what happened to them? What's the rest of the story? Maybe another way to ask the question is, after making 2 of the biggest mistakes and committing 2 of the biggest sins the world's ever seen, what did these 2 men do? Well, first of all, they both realized they sinned. But it went further than that. You see, both Peter and Judas were distraught and incredibly upset because of their sin. I don't have this on the overhead. Just listen to it. In Matthew 27, verses 1-5, it says, "Early in the morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people came to the decision to put Jesus to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, who was the governor. When Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that Jesus was condemned, he was seized," it says, "with remorse. And he returned the 30 silver coins to the chief priests and to the elders. 'I have sinned,' he said, 'for I betrayed innocent blood.' 'What is that to us?' they replied. 'That's your responsibility.' So Judas threw the money into the temple and he left." So you see this. Whatever is going through Judas' mind, through this whole situation, he is seized, he is gripped with sorrow, with sadness. He realized he had betrayed innocent blood. Peter wasn't a whole lot different. Matthew 26, 74 and 75, it says that he began to call down curses on himself and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. So not only do they both realize they blew it, they are completely broken up about it, okay? And what's interesting to me is up to this point, both of their stories sort of mimic each other, don't they? They do. They're sitting at the same table with Jesus at the Last Supper, sharing the Passover meal. They're eating the same food together. They're drinking the same drink. Jesus predicts both of their betrayals, both of their sins, and both go out and betray him. And after that, they both realize what they did and they're hurt with what they did or hurt by what they did. Their stories are incredibly similar. But here's where the similarities end. Yes, they both felt sorry for themselves. They both felt sorry for what they did to Jesus. They're both upset, maybe more so than any other time in their lives. But only one of them kept going, okay? Only one of them kept going. Let's take a look at Judas here. Again, I don't have it up on the overhead, but Matthew 27, verse 5, I read the first part of this to you just a second ago. Let's finish it now. Judas threw the money into the temple and left. See, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people who wanted Jesus dead, they paid Judas 30 pieces of silver for his services, for his betrayal. He takes the money, he throws it in the temple, he leaves, then he went away and hanged himself. Now, we are, I believe, so quick to see Judas as a villain. We see him as a vile creature. I understand it. I mean, Jesus called him the son of perdition. But this story should break your heart. Are you really any different than Judas? Really? I would submit to you, no. Not in your own strength. We all fall so far short. And for a life to be taken by suicide, it should break our hearts, especially in today's day and age. Suicide is so front and center, and it's committed for so many different reasons: depression, anger, loss, mental illness, whatever it may be, it should break our hearts. I may have shared this last week, I don't know. It's on my mind at times, but we are so quick as Christians to condemn and to judge. I mean, how dumb is that? I mean, be serious. Why? Who are we that we judge and condemn anybody? Are you the judge? Am I the judge? I certainly know I'm not. There's only one judge. It ain't you. It ain't me. We ought to respond with compassion. Listen, I know truth is truth, and you don't ever change the word of God. But get this for a second. Jesus, and Peter would have been there to hear it. Jesus said earlier on in his ministry, if you disown me before men, I will disown you before my Father. Now, we'll talk about this in a second. But Jesus, instead of disowning Peter, wound up lavishing his grace on Peter. And as we saw last week, he establishes him back into the fold. That's God's grace. Peter deserved to be disowned by Jesus. Never happened. We are called to speak truth, and we are called to speak truth in love. One without the other, we're missing it. Love without truth becomes kind of mushy-gushy nonsense. You can do whatever you want. Save the whales, hate the hippies, whatever. Just popped into my head. We love hippies here. My friends growing up in high school were neo-hippies. I had a mullet. I told my kids I should grow my mullet back. And they say, no, we hate you, Dad. If you grow a mullet, we will hate you. Don't worry, I will not grow the mullet back, although it is tempting sometimes. After 21 years, you can handle me with a mullet, don't you think? Whatever. I put on my leather jacket with fringe yesterday. I lost like 20 pounds over the last 2 months. It fits again. I might wear that on a Sunday morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a powerful jacket. That will draw people in just by the power of the jacket. If I wear my Fedor Emelianenko glorious sweater of absolute victory under it, now there's revival breaking out. That's what's happening. Anyway, I totally lost. We're talking about grace, I think. Grace, judgment, don't want to judge, want to lavish grace. We speak truth in love. One without the other, that's the point. If you love without truth, it just becomes a free-for-all, and you're anti-scripture. But if all you got is truth without love, now you're a lawgiver, you're harsh, you're condemning. And I do a good enough job at times condemning myself. I don't need everybody else to condemn me. And we should never condemn one another. The Bible says that there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So why would we judge and condemn anybody? Right? So truth in love. The interesting thing about Judas, though, is, and I know this is a much deeper conversation because of Jesus' teaching in other places as far as who Judas was and what's going to happen. But from a human perspective, Judas did not have to do what he did. What if Judas would not have thrown in the towel? What if, instead of killing himself, he would have gotten himself together, come back to Jesus? You better believe that Jesus would have forgiven him, right? But Judas gave up. He gave up. It should break our hearts because he gave up not only on himself, but he also gave up on God. Peter, on the other hand, though, he didn't give up. He didn't quit. Yes, he went back to being a fisherman. That's what he did for a living. But come on now. All the other apostles went back to doing whatever they were doing too. Some of them were in hiding for a day or so. But he didn't quit. And if you remember the story from last week, Peter, some of the apostles, went out to fish. They caught nothing. They should have had the glorious sweater of absolute victory. They would have caught fish. Dude on the shore calls out to Peter and the others, says, hey, throw your net on the other side. They catch so much fish, it takes a couple of different boats to bring them in. Peter realizes it's Jesus. He jumps out of the ship, trudges through the Sea of Galilee, meets Jesus on the shore. They sit down. They have a meal together. They're eating fish. They're talking. And at that moment, Peter, although the heaviness of what he had done, I'm sure, was still resting on him, Peter was reinstated by Christ. Now, sometimes we think of repentance, right, as not giving up. Repentance is this thing where we come to Christ, we confess, we say, Lord, I want to turn from my sin. Would you forgive me? That type of stuff. And we almost think of it as a process, as a very specific thing that we did. Well, Peter's act of repentance, quote unquote, is a little different than the way we see it, usually see repentance. Jesus is actually the one who started the conversation instead of Peter. And in the process, Jesus reinstates Peter, even though Peter disowned him three times before men. Three. Peter ultimately never gave up. His sin was massive. He wept bitterly. Doesn't sound a whole lot different than Judas, but he didn't quit. He kept moving forward. And because of that, well, his story continued. As I said before, he is in essence the centerpiece. Well, really the Holy Spirit is the centerpiece, but when you're thinking about the ministers of God in the book of Acts, Peter comes to the forefront for the first 9 or 10 chapters or so, and then Paul sort of takes it from there, and Acts focuses more on the Apostle Paul. Judas quit. Peter never did. How about you? It's a good question, isn't it? And you may have to go somewhat deep with this. Have you ever betrayed Jesus? Have you ever denied him? Have you ever disowned him before men? Maybe you sinned royally in other ways: lust, porn, greed, words of death instead of words of life. Maybe you cheated on a spouse. Maybe, right? Maybe this is affecting you right now in a very real way, because you're coming face to face with a reality that is yours. I don't know. And maybe your sin 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 20 minutes ago, I don't know, has got you feeling like, what's the use? You take your 30 pieces of silver, you throw it away, you say, I'm done. Well, maybe you don't hang yourself, but in essence, it's the same kind of thing. You're throwing in the towel. And maybe you're sitting there saying, God either can't or he won't forgive me. That's what Judas did, one way or the other. If you're thinking that right now, or you've thought it in the past, I want you to know something. And don't feel bad about this, because we've all done it. You're believing a lie. Okay? You're believing a lie. Did you sin? If that's the case, yeah. Don't sugarcoat it. Don't pass the buck. He made me do it. She made me do it. No. Don't do that. But don't believe the lie that you are too far from God. We heard that through the gifts of the Spirit this morning, didn't we? Yeah, and Pastor Josh kind of nailed it on the head as he brought that all together. So not only is the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the Word of God, he's speaking to us through the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Do not throw in the towel. God's got great plans, great purposes for you and for your life. He's not done with you yet. I don't care how bad you are. He ain't done with you. He is going to bring to completion the work he started in you. And that was a good work. All right? Because God is a good God. And don't ever forget, you're not in, you know, like a 100-meter dash. Be more like Kathleen Prindable. She's a marathoner. It's beyond me. I get up in the morning and I'm happy. It's a marathon. It's a marathon race, right? That's what it is. I think that if you look at it as this sprint, you're missing out on really what a walk with Jesus is. And maybe you've had people that you've known like that. People who come to Christ and they're like a house of fire for Jesus. And then all of a sudden, 6, 8, 10 months later, it begins to die, right? You want to be like the turtle in this scenario, right? Don't be like the rabbit. Be like the turtle. Win the race. And it's a marathon. It's a marathon. So don't get discouraged when things hit the fan. Don't get discouraged when things go south. Don't get discouraged when you look around and you say, Lord, what on earth is going on? And don't get discouraged when it's your fault. Okay? All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the Apostle Paul, possibly one of the strongest Christians that ever lived on the face of the earth, even said, not that I've ever attained perfection. He did not attain perfection until he stepped into heaven. So the message today is actually rather straightforward. Don't quit. Don't throw in the towel. Keep going after Jesus. Do you know that he loves you on your best day? You know that? Do you know that he loves you on your worst day? He does. He loves you on those days where you just don't want to get out of bed. You don't want to face it anymore for whatever reason. His love for you is perfect. It does not change. It does not end. It is an everlasting, unconditional type of thing. This is what he thinks of you. By the way, this is what he thought of Peter. This is what he thought of Judas. Judas threw in the towel. Let's not be like Judas. Let's be like Peter. Sound good? Amen. Can we stand together?